Hello, welcome to the second episode of the Staff Wellness Best Practices Podcast series produced by Community Health Association of Mountain Plain States, or CHAMPS. I'm your host, Yael Holzman-Costalance, the CHAMPS Programs Coordinator for Workforce and Communications. In this series, we're highlighting interesting and innovative ways that health centers and primary care associations, PCAs, in Region 8 are addressing staff wellness as a component of supporting employee satisfaction, engagement, and retention. We think the best way to share these ideas is to speak directly with the health centers and or PCAs who are providing these services and running these programs. In our second episode, we'll hear from two employees from Northwest Colorado Health and discuss how they developed a comprehensive plan to implement staff wellness into their organization. I'm pleased to welcome Dr. Diana Hornung and Amanda Arnold from Northwest Colorado Health. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's great to have both of you here. So to start off, can both of you talk a little bit about Northwest Colorado Health and the communities that you serve?
We are in Northwest Colorado. We serve rural and frontier communities within a Routt County and Moffitt County. We have two medical clinics, in community health center in Routt in Steamboat Springs and a community health center in Craig, Colorado. We have a dental clinic that's separate within Craig, Colorado, and then we have a dental clinic in Oak Creek.
Our community is very based on ranching as well as tourism and energy, so a lot of coal mines and power plants.
And could both of you explain your role at Northwest Colorado Health?
This is Diana. I'm the medical director of the Community Health Center.
And I'm Amanda, and my title is the Senior Director of Quality and Human Resources.
And how did both of you get involved in addressing staff wellness at your health center?
In the winter of 2016, our CEO at the time, I believe, had actually gone to a CHAMPS conference, had come back and said to me, Diana, I went to a presentation about provider burnout, and did you know that medical providers are burned out? And I said, well, yes, I do know that. And I think for me, it was very much a shock to the system to think that nobody or my CEO did not realize that and did not understand that there was a burnout issue. And so that was, she gave me a charge and said, I want you to start working on provider burnout at the time, is how we framed it. And over the course of, from 2017 till now, we've shifted what we call it, I guess, to a provider wellness. But so that winter, January of 2017, I used the Zero Burnout Program survey for clinicians from the AMA, and I gave that to our 8 providers, including one of our behavioral health providers, and they filled it out. And from that, in about March of that year, we analyzed the results just within our organization and pulled out the two top issues. And the first issue, as everyone probably already knows, is EMR, frustration with the EMR. The second issue that came out on the top was a connection to our leadership, our organizational leadership. So the way that we started the EMR frustration actually worked well with a grant that we were looking into at that same time from HRSA. So we were able to coordinate a EMR specialist to kind of come out, work with us over the next year on how to best maximize the use of our EMR. And then from there, in addition, over the next couple years, we focused on what does it mean, the second piece to that, what does it mean to have connection to our leadership, and how does that look for our providers? And so when, you know, I'm guessing that the people who are listening to this podcast have already identified this as an issue within their health center and want to start doing something. And I think from my perspective, I started just with providers and provider wellness and provider burnout. And as we have grown, we have incorporated that into entire staff wellness. So I think you have to start small where you can and use the support that you have to grow that. So that's where Amanda Amanda joined our team.
Yeah, so I joined in the middle of 2018. And one of the first things that I did was look at our employee survey results that had just been done. And that was agency-wide. And noticed a trend in there that we really had some work to do on wellness, retention, attracting employees, as well as, of course, like I said, retaining them. And we started focusing on how we could impact those things. We began a WISE committee, which stands for Wellness, Inclusion, Support, and Equity. And that is a group of employees that represent the different departments, as well as different levels in the agency, which meet monthly, come together. And the first few meetings, they reviewed the survey results and chose some areas to focus on. So we used that work within the WISE committee to really start making an impact on joy and work and wellness for our employees.
Great. And were there any specific resources that either of you used? And I know you mentioned some sort of funding, but did you get any other funding or work with any community members to kind of help build this
program? Yeah, definitely. So when I started, I looked into different survey options, and the Zero Burnout Program survey for clinicians from the AMA, I used as a free resource. And because there's only 8 of us, we didn't really have any other funding to help analyze that data. We just did that on our own. The ECW or EMR grant, I believe, was HRSA. And then we also, during that time, worked with Colorado Health Foundation and got a grant to do a team-based care initiative for 3 years, which was absolutely huge. The other resources that I really found to be helpful in my search, as I was kind of doing this on my own, was the Executive Leadership and Physician Wellbeing paper by Shanna Felt. And I think we, as part of our connection to leadership, we actually had our whole leadership team read that paper and go through and talk about questions that they have specific to the items that were brought up in that paper. The other thing is, as an organization, we were involved with the Institute for Healthcare Improvement and used their joy and work paper and their joy and work wheel. Because really, when you're talking about joy and work, there are many different levels of responsibility. So I think there's the individual responsibility of what are we responsible for from ourselves within our own work? What is our supervisor's responsibility to us and to the organization? And then what is our leadership's responsibility? And I guess I would take this one level further as well as a healthcare, within the healthcare state of being in the whole nationally and potentially internationally, I think we need to look at the systems that we have in place from an organizational level with healthcare. From a national level, I think we need to look at how we can fix the system of healthcare that we are living in at this time. And I think a lot of that is through advocacy, and we have worked with our organization within Colorado to really advocate for community health centers within the state, within our region. And I only see advocacy for healthcare as a national issue.
I think advocacy nationwide is important for health centers, but healthcare in general, advocacy should be a priority so that we can figure out how to make the systems better. So a resource that we used for the WISE committee was a grant that we got from the Colorado Trust with the equity work that they're doing. So it was a health equity grant. And we had a consultant come up and help us get our WISE committee started. And so some of the questions that we focused on at first were, I know what is expected of me at work. In the last 7 days, I have received recognition or praise for doing good work. And in the last 6 months, someone at work has talked to me about my progress. So the first question that the team decided to try and have an effect on is, in the last 6 months, someone at work has talked to me about my progress. We had check-ins, but came to realize that they weren't being used as often as they should have been. And there were even some team members or people that worked here that weren't getting them at all from their supervisors. And so we revamped that tool and also put an expectation into place that every employee receives a check-in at least twice a year. And then HR follows up if those are not completed. That just gives our employees, every employee, the opportunity to have feedback from their supervisors. So I would say that the consultant really helped us figure out how to take the questions and start making a move on how we can better satisfy our employees and making sure they get what they need while they're here at work.
And I would say one other resource, as a provider group, we actually worked with Kristen Race from Mindful Life to create a mindfulness course for medical professionals, which is very individualized, right? You can't tell people to be mindful and then that's all the joy in their work that they get. So Kristen really worked with us to create this as in just another resource and another tool.
Great. And so while both of you were, you know, building the committee and kind of putting all these plans into action, did you face any barriers or try anything that didn't work?
Yes, we did. And I think that part of the first steps in starting to address joy in the workplace is being open to the fact that things may not work out immediately. So we, within our team-based care program, we tried to have monthly meetings with each of our teams, meaning taking them out of clinic, having team growth time. And while that worked for team cohesion, it took people out of clinic and it removed access to care, if you will. So we weren't able to sustain that. So we have to think about different ways to carry this forward. And I think we're currently reassessing how we want to do that. And I don't think we're there yet and how we want to make sure we have healthy teams. So more to come on that.
I would say a barrier that we ran into, as I said, we used staff surveys to gauge where we were and what we needed to work on. And I would say one barrier was trust and something that we need to build within our employees. There were definitely employees that didn't feel comfortable honestly answering the survey because they were worried that that survey would be linked back to them. And what if they gave a bad review or you know, what would the repercussions of that be? And so trying to focus or put some energy into making sure employees know that we're only looking at that data as an aggregate and it's only being used to help us be better and building that trust within them to be able to answer 100% honestly.
And I know we discussed the survey, but could you go into more detail about how the organization has been measuring the impact of the program and what are the other changes you have seen internally?
So from an agency-wide perspective, we do that same survey annually so we can gauge what things are coming up or going down and we can realign our work to that. And then we take those surveys and we pick questions to work on. So a couple of other outcomes that have come from this is we started a wellness program for our employees where a week in the summer we spent each day focusing on a different area of wellness. So we focused on physical, mental, financial, environmental, and relationship. We're hoping to do that again this winter. And then also we created an idea lab because employees didn't feel like their voices were being heard or that their ideas mattered. And so really giving them the platform to give an idea and not only give the idea, but receive feedback as to if their idea is going to be implemented and if not, why not? Not just no.
I would add to that is loop closure. Communication we've been working on. And I think everybody can continuously forever work on communication. And so I don't think that that's ever something that dies. And I think that we have really been trying to find different forums to figure out how to best communicate, how to close loops with communication. I think that's been a huge benefit to this program.
Yes, we also measure staff turnover, which unfortunately through some of our changes has staff turnover. We've maybe had more staff turnover than we'd like, just because when you're changing a culture and you're changing the way an organization functions, for some people, that's just not a fit for them. But it's something definitely that we measure. We've also measure internal promotions. We've been increasing the amount of employees internally that are promoting, which is something we really want to grow our own employees and set them up for their next adventure. And so that's something I'm really proud of, is the amount of employees that we've been able to grow and promote within our organization.
And what does the future look like for the program? And what advice do you have for other health centers that are trying to incorporate staff wellness into their workplace?
For me, I strongly believe that this is a cultural shift. And I think that it takes commitment. So my biggest ask of those clinics who really want to focus on this is making sure that it is within the strategic plan of your organization. We have a board that supports this 100%. It is within our strategic plan, it is within each of our program plans, highlighting what does join work mean to us and how do we get there? And it's going to be very specific to your organization about what it means to you. But I think we have incorporated really the quadruple aim into our strategic plan and have highlighted that within our joy in work for our employees. So I would say strategic planning, put it into your program plan, specifics of what that means to you.
Yeah, and I would say we're gonna continue our long-term goal is to continue this work. It's sometimes slow progress, but when you look back, you realize how much you've accomplished. And so don't be discouraged and just celebrate the small wins. Our long-term goal is to continue surveying our employees, to continue our WISE committee, and continue to work on us as an employer. We want to be a place where people choose to work, where they want to be. We also, want to continue working on things like compensation and benefits, career ladders. Those are things that are still on the horizon that we know we have work to do in, and that our goal is to accomplish that and make sure employees want to be here.
And I think specifically for within the community health center, looking at our EMR, we're constantly trying to find better ways to use our EMR to have billing and coding training for providers to ideally have 75% of our charts completed by the time we leave the office for the day. And so there's specific line items to try to make that happen. I think, as Amanda said, career ladders for all of our staffing. When I started this back in 2017, it was specifically for providers. And I think we are a small organization. It grew to we grew to have an HR department, which is huge for us. And that has been one of the things that I believe our employees are looking for and asking for.
Yes, I would say before, I wasn't here obviously, but before we had an HR department, some of these things were harder to focus on. And so for those smaller size community health centers that don't have an HR department, I would encourage you to make that a priority, because I feel like once we had, we only have two people in our HR department, but once we had those people focusing on this type of stuff, it really propelled the work that we can do. So I would recommend making that a priority. We would be glad to share any of the resources that we have. We have a charter from our WISE committee that might be helpful. I'd be glad to share the questions that we ask our employees annually in the survey.
And I think that if anybody is really starting to put this into practice and they're just wondering how to start or next steps, I would be very happy and willing to sit down and talk with anybody. So feel free to reach out to either Amanda or I.
That would be fantastic. Thank you both so much for sharing that advice with our Region 8 health centers and for joining us today for our second episode of the CHAMPS Staff Wellness Best Practices podcast series.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. This episode is available for free to download at champsonline.org. A typed transcription of this episode is also available. If you are interested in recording an interview for our series, please let us know by sending an email to yael@champsonline.org. As always, thank you so much for listening.